You're listening to the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a mouthful. For more great shows, like the one you're about to enjoy, visit electronicmediacollective.com. And now, our feature presentation.
Hey, Jordan, your usual drink tonight?
Yes, thank you.
So, where's Eric and Ryan?
They're on their way.
I wanted to listen to your latest podcast, but where can I download the episodes again?
You can download all of our episodes at movieguyspodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on every social media platform.
Every social media platform? That's awesome. Hey, it looks like your friends are here. Let me get the first round for you guys.
I don't understand the theater experience that I had watching Bad Boys for Life. And what I mean by this is, it's a Tuesday night, $5 ticket, and a free popcorn. Doolittle's is out. Iron Man, Doolittle. This should be the biggest movie of the weekend. And my theater screening for Bad Boys for Life was packed.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I have a lot to say. Eric, how are you doing?
Why wouldn't you believe this? Not like people are going to be lining up to going to see Weathering With You. You know, like this is a movie that was anticipated because nobody asked for it, I think is probably the best way to put that. And in a world, the movie world, where it is based on quotas and genres, it is about damn time. We got another buddy comedy movie. Ryan, what do you think about that?
It's simple as this. You ride together, you die together.
Oh, there you go. Or you fly together, you die together.
That's true. That's true. Would you fuck a witch without a condom?
Right. Oh, my God. I got so much to say about that. Okay, so I can't believe I'm saying this. And I'm going to get in my DeLorean and go back and smack myself. Because I'm going to say this. I missed, and this movie missed Michael Bay. This is not the same movie. This is not the same. The feel, the editing, the story, everything is completely fucking different. And I'm not a Michael Bay fan. I don't like 90% of his movies. But this movie was missing that. Because, and then I'll shut up here. I said to my wife, I said, hey, Gina, I'm going to go watch Bad Boys for Life. She goes, I never seen a Bad Boys movie. And both of them are on Netflix. So All this week, we watched one and two to prepare for this one. So the first two are fresh in my mind.
Fun movies, right?
And this is not the same fucking feel. Like, this is just, it just seems weird. It's weird. I don't like it.
It's probably because of the directors. I have not heard these directors before, and that's because it looks like this is their first movie, right? Or at least for, well, Turkish? Belgian. Belgian directors, and it looks like as far as other movies go, their catalog is not as robust as some would say. It looks like some music videos and some shorts. And then they got this one.
I actually feel that not having Michael Bay was kind of for me, that was a positive. Because I feel they do enough with their cinematography, especially, that pays, I guess, homage is the proper word, to what Michael, like the key Michael Bay-isms. But they're not copying him. It's kind of, to me, I sensed it as sort of like an evolution of the style that they are acknowledging. That Michael Bay's style is a big impact on why these films were so successful, but they're not copying or aping that style. Because like looking at the trailers last week, I said that this is probably going to be like Pain and Gain, because Pain and Gain feels like a Michael Bay parody movie, and I thought that's what this was going to feel like. I was wrong. I don't think that this feels like a Michael Bay parody movie. It feels like someone who grew up watching Michael Bay movies and taking certain aspects of what makes those movies visually interesting and applying it in their own direction. But again, this movie also does kind of have, to a certain extent, a generic feel. I will agree with that.
As far as the look goes, I'd say that you are substituting the over-the-top part for something a bit more reasonable that handles well. What I mean for that is the action in this movie. With the Michael Bay, you can go over the top. You can get the big explosion. You can get the sunglasses and the shades and, you know, the overwritten cliches in these types of movies and have the person walk away, you know, five bullets, you know, here, and then they get up and walk away. Oh, I gotta retire type of thing. This movie, not to say that it wasn't completely ridiculous, but it was just not as in-your-face Fast and Furious as, let's say, the ones, or even, like, the two movies before it. But the story was cookie-cutter. You have seen this before. It had played like other cop action movies before it, whether it be 21 Jump Street or whether it be... Oh, gosh, I feel like there was a recent one that kind of came out that was I don't know, just like a lot of these cop movies that were just the same action movie.
Yeah, well, I felt like this movie is more in line with the first one than the second one, because like the second one is big grandiose Michael Bay doing whatever Michael Bay wants to do. It's like it's 2.5 hours long. I think it's excessive. That movie is excessive. And this one obviously has a pared down budget. It's not as, you know, as expensive to make as the second one is. To me, it feels more like the first one in terms of, like, scope and kind of, yeah, like that aspect of it.
A lot of callbacks in this movie, too.
Yeah, like, I was a fan of the continuity. I thought that was, like, a good touch that they didn't just abandon things because it's been, you know, all this time. The opening, I thought, was funny when they bring back Reggie. Because when you first see him, it's the same shot as when you first see him in the second movie.
Same actor too.
And it's like it's nice. Like I like this movie. I know you guys are probably the way this is leading into it. You guys are probably gonna give like down votes for this. But I genuinely like this movie. I was genuinely surprised by what I saw, and most of it has to do with like basic things like. These movies, to me, rely on the chemistry between Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. And I think like their rapport, their repartee, their tete-a-tete, or whatever it's called, their back and forth, they do kind of get cheesy and cliche.
Yeah.
But to me, they're still fun. And I think that's the advantage this sort of action movie has over others, generic movies.
This is where I'm going to have to totally disagree with you. It has been 17 years since Bad Boys 2 came out. And I know in real life the actors are older. But the moment that I turned on this movie is the opening. Because we get the opening car chase scene. I would say opening car chase scene. And I'm like, oh, where's the bad guy? You know, like, you know, it's kind of like I'm expecting. Because like with other Bad Boy movies, I'm expecting kind of like the Bond thing. Where it's like, you know, they're going to hunt down a criminal that has nothing to do with the plot, really, to go into the main plot. And I'm like, for some reason, they're not chasing anybody. They're not chasing anybody. And then it hits me in my drunken stupor again at the theater. Oh, they're going to go to the hospital. Somebody's having a kid. And it's like, I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want this joke. I don't want this joke. You're giving me the joke. And I was just disgusted. And then I even got more disgusted when, you know, Martin Lawrence is at the bar celebrating. He's a grandpa. He's like, I'm retiring. He's like, no. And Will Smith gets gunned down. And I'm laughing. I'm laughing in the theater when he gets shot. And two women to the left of me are saying, shh. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm laughing because I'm like, and the critics have said produced by Will Smith, so he's not going to die? And it's like, why? And it's like 6 months later, and we get a gratuitous Michael Bay shot at the wedding. And
Gratuitous? That was a pleasant surprise, sir.
Oh, yeah. Stop it. He walked by and did his little speech. Whatever.
Did you notice that the camera did a Michael Bay shot on Michael Bay?
Yeah.
Come on. I was disgusted.
He didn't produce this movie. I don't think he had anything to do with
this
movie.
He had nothing to do with this movie.
That walk off. That's why it's funny. I think that's why it's great. And my favorite part about that, too, is at the wedding. Sorry. At the wedding, when you get the shot of Will Smith alive, because you have like the first act, then it cuts to black 6 months later, and then you get the wedding. And then, so your first shot, because you're led to believe that it's his funeral, but it's Martin Lawrence's daughter's wedding to her baby daddy. And the first shot you get of Will Smith is he's in that wheelchair, and then you go through the ceremony, and then they do their speeches or what have you, and he surprises everybody by standing up out of the wheelchair. My first thought was, what poor sap pushed him around all day when he could walk on his own this entire time?
Right. It come on, guys. This movie's stupid.
Well, they and then the killer uploaded the video. Did he do it 6 months after then too?
Like, yeah, that's another thing too. Yeah. Now that actually made sense for the plot because they did not know until 6 months later. Because I'm assuming it took. So Will Smith gets shot, and Martin Lawrence is praying to God and saying, "I will never do acts of violence again. Save this man's life." And I'm telling you this for a plot point later in the movie, which is ridiculous. But anyway, so I'm assuming it takes 6 months, I'm assuming, for Will Smith to recover. And then that's when the newspaper article comes out after the wedding when the bad guys say he survived. You know, and they're like, okay, so now we're going to release it. So let's talk about the bad guy. Let's talk about this shit.
There's the other part, too, is that he shoots Will Smith and then takes a six-month break. And then starts killing all the other.
No, doesn't he kill everybody in between that 6 months? He shoots Will Smith first because he was told to kill him last, but he shot him first, and then everybody else followed suit after that.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, because they all get killed during that montage.
All right, yeah, so let's talk about the villains. We gotta talk about this because the villain. Okay, so I love talking about my wife in this show. Because she's just not a movie critic, and just hearing somebody else's point of view outside of us, you know, it's just nice. I've always said that. It's always refreshing. And so I showed her these two movies, and she did not like the villain in the first one. Too generic, just not a very interesting villain. She enjoyed the villain in the second movie more, the Cuban guy more, because he was more charismatic, kind of like Tony Montana in a way, kind of thing.
Yeah,
he was just more entertaining. And I was hoping, I was like, okay, so is this franchise going to give us a villain? And then, okay. In 1994, a year before Will Smith and Martin Lawrence became a team in Bad Boys, which completely changes the plot of the franchise, which we'll talk about. He was deep undercover for a Mexican cartel guy. And this cartel guy was married to a woman where people of the city called her the witch. And he had a love affair with her because he was the driver, because he was so deep in cover. Also deep in the witch's pussy. Hello!
Hey! Anyway,
that's gratuitous.
And then, it was time for the agents to come in and to arrest or kill. This is a convoluted backstory, fellas.
Oh, it's extremely convoluted.
Okay. I'll just make sure, because in watching the past two ones this past week, in number two, there's a high school yearbook photo where we discover that Martin Lawrence and Will Smith have been friends since adolescence.
Yep.
So, anyway, go ahead. I've talked for a while.
That time in Budapest.
Okay, so you guys agree, right? This whole backstory. We find out that the witch has a son, and the son is Will Smith's son. Is this necessary to have this happen?
If you're going to carry on a new generation, maybe.
There's no generation to carry on.
Well, you saw the end of the movie.
I was going to say, we had our Avengers moment at the credit.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hey, we have a Bad Boys initiative.
Right. Hey, I know you killed all these people. You know, that were good people. You also killed my captain in the neck at his daughter's basketball game. But yeah, I got a job. But I got a job.
So it's a Suicide Squad initiative then.
It's stupid.
Where are we? Some sort of Bad Boys?
Okay, so we got to talk about the captain, right? The captain was something that was fun, right? Captain, the last two movies, he was fun. He was in this movie a lot more than what he was in the previous two movies. So I kind of had this deep feeling in my gut. I'm like, he's not going to survive this movie. He gets shot in the neck at his daughter's basketball game.
Yeah,
like, Joey Payne. Was that necessary to kill him?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it's emotional. No, it's not necessary because the whole catharsis of the movie is that it's Will Smith's boy, Mike Lowry's boy. So, like, I don't know, it just adds extra... Well, see, no, because he doesn't need it. Because I was going to say, because it adds something for everyone, but no, not really, because he tried to kill Mike, and that's why... What's Rosa? Rosita? What's her name?
The witch?
The leader of ammo? No, the leader of ammo. I can't remember her name. But yeah, but she's in love with Mike, but that'd be just because that they tried to kill Mike. So yeah, I don't know. Unnecessary, I guess, just to add another layer to it. Does this come before or after the chase sequence? I don't remember.
What chase sequence? When he finds out that he's his son?
No, where they're trying to chase Waylo, and they get on the helicopter, and he has, like, his diehard moment.
That's before, and that's why this is crazy, because nobody, not even the audience, knows that this assassin is Will Smith's son.
Rita,
it's not even mentioned. Huh?
Rita is the lady, by the way.
Rita later, okay. Nobody knows. I mean, like, wouldn't it make sense for the witch to say to the assassin, her son, so you know this guy's your father? Or I mean, something so the audience would at least get in on it. But no, they're chasing this guy in a club.
Well, that's the big twist. Well, that doesn't come until after the club because he says the whatever Fuego thing, and that's how Mike links the two. But I mean, if we as the audience would have known that's the son, Will Smith's son, I think that because that's like supposed to be the big twist. Now, I mean, for me, it falls flat because I don't think it's super important because they're just trying to give more emotional depth to Mike. But if we would have known beforehand, I think it would have lessened the ending anyways. And it would have also created, I mean, in a like a kayfabe sense, her telling him that is his father may, you know, cause some confusion and him not want to kill Mike, but she wants Mike dead. Mm-hmm. So why would she tell him?
Yeah, but why have it at all?
Listen, because this the depth and context of this movie took a backseat to the character. And I think that's what everyone was enjoying about this. This is what everyone wanted from this movie was just, again, a buddy comedy, man. They know Will Smith. They know Martin Lawrence. Let's buckle up. And Vanessa Hudgens, you can come along too. And that's exactly what happened. I think, if anything, this movie did Martin Lawrence a favor.
This was definitely a paycheck for him. Yeah. He needed it.
Well, yeah, it was a paycheck for sure. I think for everyone involved. But he did a pretty good job. Like his comedy helped a lot of the movie.
My actual favorite part in this movie, where it got a chuckle out of me, just because me being a parent, is, you know, you guys know the scene when they get ready to talk to the guy in the roof who's going to squeal, and they are arguing in the car in this soccer mom van. And Will Smith's like, oh my God, you have a kid in the back, right?
Yeah.
And then they're going to drop the kid off at the day spa. And the actual scene that made me chuckle was Will Smith taking the kid in the baby carrier, sliding the door open while she's getting a spa. She sees him. She's pissed, getting ready to cuss, and he just slides the door back. I was like, you know, because that's something I would do. Like, oh, hey, Gina, you enjoying your day spa? Here's the kid sliding. See you later. Going to strip club.
No, never mind.
So that got a chuckle out of me. So I said early in the show about how Martin Lawrence's character is like pleading to God to save Mike's life, and he will never act violence again. Then we get a scene in the movie where they go to a club for a guy's birthday who they've known his whole life. They're like, he was a good athlete, but he turned out to be a prick. They chase him, and then we get like a Mad Max / Batman and Robin. I put that correlation because of the crazy helmets on the dirt bikes. Yeah. You know. And they're in this underground highway scene. And they're chasing the bad guy whenever. And the whole time they're chasing, Martin Lawrence has this Gatling gun on the cart of the motorcycle. And Will Smith's like, shoot him. Martin's always like, no, I made a thing to God. And he's like, yeah, but shoot him anyway. And he's like, okay.
Well, no, he said this is God providing you
a gun. Yeah.
That's why he decided to shoot him.
But that's stupid.
It's not just like...
But that's stupid.
Right, but it's also... Well, I think it was funny. Because, like, I thought it... Because that scene starts off a tad bit ridiculous. And then it gets progressively more and more ridiculous.
How does it start off ridiculous? I want to know this. Take me down this rabbit hole. I want to know.
With the Porsche going to the hospital. That's how it starts. Ridiculous.
No, this scene. So it's for me. It starts from the moment Waylo knocks over the, what is it, like the pyre, whatever they're called, where he escapes from them.
Yeah.
And then they have a chase on a motorcycle and a minivan. And then they get him cornered. You have the two moments where Marcus has to poke the welt.
That was funny.
He got hit with a rubber bullet.
That was funny.
They get him into the back of the minivan. Then they get surrounded by this biker gang, but they're not all on the same kind of bike. Some of them have crotch rockets. Some of them have ATVs. Some of them have regular motorcycles. They're all wearing helmets.
Were they
just circling the thing?
His gang? Were they the...
Yeah, they were Waylo's gang.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Waylo's people. Then when they're about to die, or they think it's over, the ammo bus just comes out of nowhere. Explosion, by the way, when they bust through something, I'm not sure what.
Mm-hmm.
Waylo escapes in the confusion, and then they chase him he's on a motorcycle, and they chase him on a motorcycle with a sidecar. You have the little moment with the pit bull. Marcus doesn't want to get in because it's a pit bull. And then the pit bull jumps out, and Marcus gets in and says, "There's more guns in here than an angry white man's basement," which is also kind of a funny joke. And then there's just a fucking Gatling gun.
Right, just nowhere. Just out of nowhere.
It's just attached to the front of the sidecar. You get the moments where the sidecar splits from the motorcycle. The random moment where Mike doesn't realize he's basically riding underneath a semi-truck. And then you get the part where he runs into the back of a flatbed semi and then hops it to catch the ladder as the helicopter is going up.
So you just broke down that whole scene. That is ridiculous.
It starts off ridiculous and just gets gets more and more ridiculous as the scene continues on. Now, for me, that was enjoyable.
Eric, what do you think of ammo? So we get these... We get these two old dogs with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence coming back. Their captain's being killed. Now they're going to join forces with Ammo, which is a bunch of young pseudo-millennials. Yeah, they're Jump Street. And they know how to hack and everything. What do you think of Ammo? Is that something that the bad boys needed to team up with Ammo?
Yeah, dude, of course. Listen, every main character needs a Deus Ex Machina. And they got it. Four of them. So there you go. That's pretty much the end of that there. They need any reason or excuse that they could have happened. They to further the plot. Ammo was there. Like they had just like you said. There was the moment where isn't there a van that just
yeah
busts
that's
through?
True. Just
like,
comes out of nowhere with a random explosion that affects nothing.
So I mean it just helps. Makes sense. It's a team and. It's adding more characters to the situations always helps because, well, helps the plot. Just because there's so many different solutions or situations that you can have. And there's also more people there too, so there's more selling power.
But I think that this team needs to be smaller though, because in the past two movies, we got those stereotypical Hispanic guys that were always making racial jokes.
I'm fine with just being always Will Smith and Martin Lawrence.
Yeah.
Like, just keep it those two. But, yeah, like, you know, like, even the Men in Black had Frank, you know, the little pug. You have...
Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, it's just kind of a lot of the buddy comedies have like a person to go to. Shit, even fucking Phantom Menace had went to Jar Jar Binks. Like, you know, you just have to have some, you know, the two main characters, how serious they are, because they're gonna be, they have to have contrast, and that's where you get it from. So, is it useful? No, because I don't think it adds anything, nor does it take away from anything. Is it plausible? Fuck no. Miami, what kind of budget do you have?
Right.
You know, that's ridiculous weapons, and that's like military grade. But we're not here to ask questions.
Yeah, we are. Absolutely, we are. We are reviewing this. Ryan, do you think ammo's ridiculous?
No, you don't ask the questions in Bad Boys.
We have to, because there's going to be a sequel.
There is a test. There's a test at the end of the episode, so you better be studying.
Right. Ryan, do you think that ammo is needed in this movie? I mean, why? Or do you want just Will Smith and Martin Lawrence doing their thing?
I mean, I would be just fine with Martin Lawrence and Will Smith like being just them. But I think this is it's a way to bridge the generation gap. These movies, the last one came out in 2003. Since then, technology in terms of what police forces use has advanced exponentially, and this is just a way to modernize it and use it as a way to build character and story foundation. So, I mean, it serves a purpose. If it didn't have it, I probably wouldn't miss it, but the story they're telling, it is important because it works with Mike's maturity.
Really? Mike's maturity. All right. Now, the movie didn't come out and just flat out say, this is why Mike is rich. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because, again, I watched these movies within the past 7 days. The first two. So they're fresh and so fresh in my mind. And the first movie, Martin Lawrence kept on saying to Will Smith, you have this nice apartment, these nice clothes, these fancy cars, because your parents has a trust fund. They left you with money. We were assumed that his parents are dead and they left him with all this money, right? But then we find out that he was nothing. He says those words, that he was nothing before he went undercover when he fell in love with the witch. Are we led to assume that there was no parents that gave him money, that he was paid all this money from the witch over these years of being the driver, and that's how he has all these millions of dollars? Or am I just reading way too much into this?
You're asking too many questions.
Okay. All right.
I think you might be reading too much into it, but I think that is a valid question to ask. Eric, I think it's a valid question to ask.
It's I just feel like this is in this type of movie, these questions, you could ask the same thing for like Shanghai Noon, and you would get the same answer. You know, like it doesn't really matter, because the answer could be anything. It's question mark, you know, like it's whatever. It doesn't have to fit the best motive, because these are problem solving answers. I feel like they just like, yeah, pick one off the board and move it along. Yeah, there was a part where he did this for this long. Yeah, well, what about this? Oh, well, for this long they, you know, did this type of training, or when he was employed there, then for 3 months they went to China, and that's how they met, you know, Hong over there, whatever the hell is.
It's the
Fast and Furious.
It's the rubber theory. The why, you guys remember the movie Rubber about the
tire.
Killer tire?
Yeah.
Sentient tire. The opening of the movie has this guy walking into like this desert area, and he gives this little monologue where he asks these questions. And the only one I can remember is like, why is E.T. brown? Why is E.T. brown, or why is E.T. gray? I don't remember what he asked. And he says, just because.
Yeah.
These things just happen.
Yeah. Okay, so now this is another thing that I had, because I agree with Ryan on this. So just go with me on this one, guys. And we're going to give this movie more of a thought than what the people who made it. But I thought about this after I left the theater and I was driving home. And I was just thinking about this the whole time. It's, what if this happened? What if you guys were in charge of making this movie, right? And the studio says, we're going to make Bad Boys 3. And then your argument is, okay, we're going to make Bad Boys 3, but that's it. Because is this the right decision? We're going to kill off one of the bad boys. Should that happen? Or A, should that happen? And B, would that have made sense to kill one of the bad boys off? Would that have made this more interesting?
No, you're not going to kill either one of them. That's just not.
God damn.
That's just not going to happen. Something might happen to one of them, you know, where they have to part, or one of them has to like go into hiding, you know, and so they're just secluded on an island for however long, or they're, I don't know, pick the situation, you know, like one is, they, through circumstances, they are forced apart.
Ryan,
like
what say you?
That could happen, but.
Yeah, I wouldn't kill one of them, because these movies, this isn't the type of movie or franchise that you can pass down. This would be like saying we're going to have John Wick 5 and not have Keanu Reeves in it.
Okay.
You know?
All right, valid. I was just thinking about that because, you know, this being the third movie, you have to have higher stakes. You know, I was thinking of Lethal Weapon and how Danny Glover's family was always in peril. Would it have been better if this was not the story that we got and Martin Lawrence's family could have been kidnapped, like his wife or something? I mean, have the revenge plot.
Well, his sister got kidnapped in the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. And, oh, by the way, I love that scene, too, when they're driving to drop off the kid to the spa, and they just have that one little line of, well, you were really mad when I broke up with Sid. Like, every actor and actress came back for this movie besides her. I guess she's still, you know, rolling in the Bring It On money, but. Okay, so we got to get into our popcorn ratings. Because I'm really interested in what you guys have to say about this. And, all right, Ryan, what is your popcorn rating?
Solid medium bag for me.
For Bad Boys for Life, really?
Bad Boys for Life, solid medium bag.
Wow.
I was verging on giving a large bag, but I thought that's too much. That's overkill. This is basically, I went in thinking, like, it's been so long. You know, this is just a paycheck movie. They just made this so they can make money. And it's just going to be some stupid, dumb Michael Bay ripoff feeling movie. And I was pleasantly surprised by the experience I had. Most of the jokes landed for me. Some of them don't. But those ones I don't remember. The action is goofy and over the top and what I had hoped it would be. The chemistry between Will Smith and Martin Lawrence is still perfect. The story itself is overly complicated, maybe unnecessarily so, but it kind of, to me, wasn't important because I'm not necessarily watching this movie for the story. And everything that I wanted out of a Bad Boys type movie, I got. So solid medium bag for me.
So I had an experience back when we first started Movie Guys Podcast. It was our fifth review ever, and we were supposed to review Deadpool, and I knew what we were getting ourselves into, and I was going to take Gina, and she says, I have no interest in seeing this movie, no interest at all, I don't want to go. I pretty much dragged her to the theater kicking and screaming, and we walked into the theater, the same theater I was at for this movie. And it was shoulder to shoulder. No seats were available. We actually had to sit in the aisleway there, you know, where you go up the steps to find your seats, just so we can watch the movie. And that was the same exact experience I had for this. I couldn't believe it. There were more people in this theater watching Bad Boys for Life than there were for Star Wars. I was completely shocked. I was just shocked. So as soon as I sat down,
can't stop a hype train.
I have my popcorn. I'm like, okay, so everybody's seen this movie. There is more. This is the same exact theater. Theater number one is always the big movies that come out, you know, so like in my theater. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be good. And then Martin Lawrence is a grandpa. I'm like, wow, everybody was laughing. Everybody. I couldn't believe they were laughing at the white jokes. Couldn't believe it. There was not a a single person of color in the theater, and all the white rednecks were laughing at the white jokes. Like, it was just a shocking experience to me.
Well, I'm glad that you had some shock in you then, there, Jordan.
But that goes with my popcorn rating. I give this one a small bag because it's not great. This is the worst of the franchise, of the trilogy. The story makes no sense. I think Martin Lawrence and Will Smith, I will disagree with Ryan. I think that they don't know how to work with each other anymore. I don't like that Will Smith got shot when just 6 months later he's back and it's acted like he's never hurt ever again. It was like, I got shot 3 times and I'm fine. I'm good. It's like,
wait, 6 months to recover. It's not like,
yeah, I get that.
It's because it montaged through it. He's
no, I get that.
The very next day,
6 months to recover. And there's also a scene where the head, his ex-girlfriend of ammo, says, "You're not ready to go," punches him in the chest. He's like, "Ow, that hurts." And then they forget about it. Like, I would have liked to have seen scenes in this movie to where he couldn't fight. He couldn't run that fast anymore. Or he has PTSD where he's scared about. But then again, I'm giving this movie too much fucking credit. So, just a small bag for me. I was disappointed because I was hoping a little bit more, but I didn't get it. So, Eric, what say you, buddy? What is your popcorn rating for Bad Boys 4?
Listen, I'll kind of feed off of you, but in a little bit of a different way. I did enjoy this movie. You need to know that I really did, just because I got Mike Lowry and I got Marcus Burnett. Dude, I got both the dudes. I got the bad boys here, and I still like their chemistry. Martin Lawrence wasn't as crisp as he used to be. A little slower on his delivery, and you could tell that the age is obviously there. But listen, they're still there. They're still with it. I did enjoy this movie. That being said, I'm giving it a small bag because I enjoyed the movie. I felt like all the rest of it is just too much, and it's just kind of overbearing. You added too much weight to the car, and I think it's just, that's what it is. It didn't go as fast as I wanted it to. I think that's basically what it is. I wanted just a little more of a simpler story. It didn't need to be complex. I said that they're still kicking in the forest and they're toying with retirement, but dealing with a cartel in Mexico doesn't seem to be like a way to end it when you're going out of your jurisdiction. You know, it's kind of a weird way to do that. But again, it's cops, you know. It's supposed to be, and the bad boys is over the top, so I get that. I just felt there was too much, you know. I got a toothache and I couldn't deal with it. And then they're doing the sequel, like they're doing a handoff where it's like, okay, we're getting this. I felt like this guy was now like Bowser from Mario, where he's a bad guy, but hey, listen, how about you come on and join the party anyway? You know, we forgive you, type of thing. And that part was just like, okay, I'm not too sold on it. I did enjoy this movie, though. I really did. I think it adds to the trilogy. I do think it's very separated from the other two, but it's there now, and that's just what it is. Small bag.
Small bag for both of us, and a medium bag for Ryan. You always shock me in your popcorn ratings. It's always fun to hear what you have to say, because you always, like Eric, I think him and I are on the same page sometimes, not all the times, where I think I know what he's going to give. You,
Jurassic
my friend,
Park is horrible. Dog shit movie.
Jurassic Park or Jurassic World?
Jurassic World is a dog shit movie. Jurassic Park.
There you go.
Better.
There you go.
Wait, is it Jurassic World? Forbidden Kingdom?
Even worse. Both of them.
Yeah. He's not a fan. But we know everybody else is a fan, getting hyped up for our next episode next week coming your guys' way. We are going to be doing a season review of The Mandalorian. I'm really excited to talk about this one because I am not a fan. So I'm excited to see what Ryan and Eric have to say.
Spoilers, dude.
No, I'm not a fan.
No shit.
It's a big spoiler. I am not a fucking fan. I post on our Twitter page. I'm not a fan.
You want them to tune in for the next episode.
Exactly.
Don't give away the
So this
the,
is them.
The result.
This is them saying, oh, hey, the biggest asshole in the show is not a fan. Let's just see how he pisses on my parade some more, shall we?
That makes sense, too, because you really love Rise of Skywalker, and that's a terrible movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get your point.
You get my fucking point. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, this guy. So, anyway. Hey, Rise of Skywalker is better than Last Jedi. So, we'll be coming back, talking about the whole season of The Mandalorian, and we'll be kicking off February here with a Netflix movie after Mandalorian. We're announcing here tonight to get you guys ready. We're going to kick off February with A Marriage Story. Netflix original movie.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Miss Americana.
No,
the Taylor Swift documentary.
No, we're gonna do A Marriage Story leading up to the
heartbroken now.
Leading up to the Valentine's Day. February's gonna be interesting. We got Sonic that month.
Oh,
fuck yeah! Hey man, regardless if I wanted to see Sonic before, the producers, the studio pulled the movie to fix Sonic based on the small minority that's not vocal on the internet, and I would give them my money just because of that.
I mean, and Jim Carrey's Dr. Eggman, so why not? So thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this most recent episode of Movie Guys Podcast. Of course, like always, check us out on all social media forums and also on Spotify and iHeartRadio on iTunes, or I'm sorry, Apple Podcasts now, on Stitcher and movieguyspodcast.podbean.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week for The Mandalorian Season 1 discussion. Have a good night.